Best known for being a member of the directing staff on Channel 4's SAS, Who Dares Wins, Matthew Ollie Ollerton has undertaken countless counter-terrorism missions and humanitarian efforts as part of the UK Special Forces. He's looked death in the eye more times than most, having been involved in a freak accident when he was a child and coming under attack in Iraq. But he's also had his own battles to fight with, and he's put it all down in a new book, a book out called Breakpoint SAS. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from somewhere in the UK. Ollie Ollerton. Ollie, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well indeed. So, you've got a new book out. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to put it all down in print.
Yeah, well, basically, you know, I've had an interesting life. There's no doubt about that. And the same with the TV show. The TV show has been so powerful. It's given us, you know, an opportunity. It's given us a voice. And I want to use that exposure to do some good and to help people that are possibly struggling a little bit. And also the whole concept of Breakpoint is the theory behind that, you know, we are so we're so tuned into living within our limitations. It's to see that, you know, people can take a step into that short-term discomfort for a long-term gain, and that is the concept behind Breakpoint. So, yeah, I just hope that it will help people take that first step.
And when you say to take that first step, I mean, you've addressed some very serious issues. I mean, obviously, we've had tragic cases of suicide. I'm just thinking of Keith Flint, which, you know, from The Prodigy, that crossed everybody's radar as the coroner's report came through yesterday. I mean, people think, because of your... People seem to think, and I've interviewed services personnel before, that especially at high level, that you're unbreakable, invincible. But, you know, it's far from the case, isn't it?
No, it is far from the case. But the thing is, you know, when I served, you know, before I left, you know, when you're behind the wire, when you're sort of in this, the institution that is the military, you do, you know, you have this sense of this invincibility. And, you know, you think you're going to come out and everything's going to be rosy, you're going to rule the world and this, that and the other. And you don't realize that, you know, some of the very simple things that are taken away from you, like the camaraderie, and you know, that sense of brotherhood, that sense of family, once that's taken away from you, there's a massive void. And for a lot of people, you know, unless you have some clear direction and purpose, as soon as you leave, you know, you start spiraling out of control. I mean, me myself, I was jumping all over the world trying to find this external fix, you know, to try and find that happiness and that, you know, feel settled, and it wasn't there. You know, I had to really look within to find that, and it took me a long time to do that.
I mean, they refer to it, don't they? They refer to it as the hole in the soul. I mean, you've also compared it to be that when you left, you know, because, you know, SAS, highest level you can get, and the situations you're involved in, you've compared it to, if you like, to your premiership football career being over, and suddenly you haven't got your mates around, you haven't got everything given to you on a plate, you've got to learn to survive and do things by yourself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that is so, you know, myself and Foxy, who's from the show, a very good mate of mine, we talk about that a lot, and, you know, that is, it's so parallel to that kind of world. You know, you're trying to sort of find your purpose again, and you know, after such an esteemed career, being sort of top level, you know, it's really hard, and unless you're prepared mentally for that, you know, you fall into a world of issues, and that in turn goes into mental health issues.
And you've been quite frank about that with your mental health issues and the, you know, your experiences with alcohol and depression. How difficult is that for you to write? And are you hoping that people can take something from that if they are struggling themselves?
Yeah, I mean, the book is a very raw, a very honest account of my life and the issues that I went through. People seem to think that, you know, everyone in the Special Forces is cut from a different cloth and we've, you know, these supermen, but it's not the case. You know, we bleed and we breathe the same as everyone else. And I just want to make sure that, you know, people out there can take something from the, you know, I learned the hard way, and I don't think, you know, people don't have to do that. You know, people, guys, especially guys, need to start opening up. They need to start talking about mental health and, you know, break the stigma. So this book, you know, on so many different levels, it's not about the military. This book is about my life and the breakpoints I've had and the things I've learned from it. And hopefully people can gain a lot from that. And certainly the feedback I've had has been amazing so far.
I mean, you talk about, and again, this will, you know, a lot of people think men shouldn't be talking about their emotions, and you're talking about spirituality and taking the I mean, and a lot of people will suddenly think, you know, good grief, Ollie, you know, have you got a dream catcher? Are there some wind chimes? Have you got your chakras aligned? I'm glad I made you laugh, but it's something that we, you know, that quote unquote men need to be addressing, because otherwise you describe the military life as a pressure cooker life, and the only way that you can let off that pressure cooker is by alcohol or by, shall we say, high jinks, i.e. you know, either violence or, you know, letting off steam, you know, getting it out at the weekend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one thing about PTSD and mental health, you know, the military don't own the rights to PTSD. It's relative to the individual. And, you know, I just think that, you know, when it comes down to, people get freaked out about this term mindfulness and everything else, but the way I see it is really quite simple. We have 70,000 thoughts thereabouts going around our heads every day. Some people are a lot less, obviously.
Depends how much coffee we've had in the morning, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. So if you don't focus your attention on one or two things that you do want, you're going to get a load of confusion and a load of stuff that you don't want. So that, for me, mindfulness is my focused attention at an intention. So, you know, I just think it helped me so much. I got rid of drink out of my life. It didn't control me anymore. And then it was really time to sort of start focusing and using my mind to its best ability. And it changed my life. And, you know, in the over the last 5 years, my life has turned around massively. And, yeah, I want to share those learnings with people. And hopefully some people can take, you know, different pieces from the book, and it'll help a lot of people.
I mean, you talk about mindfulness. And, you know, people are listening in, and they, you know, they run companies, and they've got their weekends planned, what they're doing. If they go away on holiday, they've got, you know, their passport, they'll have that. But when it comes to planning your own life, very few people have a 5-year plan or a next week plan. I mean, I'm the worst example of it at all. You know, I hit the ground running, have a cafe. Very few people can actually say, right, this is what I want. This is what I want to achieve. And it's not the power of positive thinking, but this is what, this is the steps that I want to take. And you believe that if you can dream it, you can be it, kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And as you just said, you're hitting out the nail on the head there. You know, people put all these business practices, goal setting, you know, positive thought, blah, 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 all those sort of things that, you know, corporates get taught. You know, you can take those lessons, put those into your personal life, because, you know, when it comes to looking after yourself, your health, your mental wealth, there's nothing more important than you. It affects everything. It's like, for me, you know, going to the gym, that is my job. Doing sort of stuff, focusing on my mind, focusing on my personal goals, that is my job before anything else. And if people start to see that, you know, forget the external sort of, you know, the external fixes. It's stuff focused on you. You've got to start focusing on you, and everything else will be a byproduct of that clarity.
You said that you deal with mental wealth now rather than mental health. You know, you're very much sort of silver lining concept, you know. Explain a little bit about that, if you would, please.
Yeah, I do feel a lot, you know, I know a lot of people that are suffering with mental illness. And I do feel that if people stop focusing on the problem, stopped reliving that problem, that they should then start to have a plan in place, look at how they're going to invest in themselves. And that's what I call mental wealth. So how are we going to get out of the rut that we're in? Because you're not going to get it from reliving the same problem over and over again. So really, for me, I mean, I've had some crazy experiences. Some people would call them crazy. And I put those in the book, you know. And some of the, you know, the power of positive thought. I just, you know, anyone that tells me, you read the book and you'll understand that, you know, no one can tell me that positive thought and visualization doesn't work, because I'm living and breathing because it does. But I nearly wasn't, you know, through one incident. And it very much explains that in the book. And I think, you know, we're negatively geared anyway. You know, we're always looking for what's going to go wrong. And it really does take an effort to be positive. But once you do, it changes your life massively.
And you found, because people will say, well, I've got rid of that behavior. You know, I've ditched that. I've ditched the partying. I've ditched the drugs, the drinks, the alcohol, and people do that, and then they're in this sort of flat place, and there's something to fill it. Now, a lot of people, they struggle to fill that flat place, but you went to Thailand, tell us a little bit about the experience there and how that absolutely rebooted your life.
Yeah, well, that was the first time. I mean, I went out to Thailand. I worked for a company or an organization. I self-funded that. It was a charity called The Grey Man. We went out and we were busting kids out of child prostitution and slavery gangs. So saving kids, basically. And that was the first time. It was the most, I've had a lot of experience in my life, but that was the most fulfilling, most humbling experience I've ever had. And it was cut short abruptly through a few issues, again, that's explained in the book. But that really was an epiphany for me. It was like, you know, the therapy, if you want to call it that, I got from helping other people was absolutely amazing. And now we, you know, our business is focused on changing people's lives, you know, changing the way they think and making their lives more productive and happier. So, you know, it's through that journey, through going to Thailand and seeing that I formed my company Breakpoint.
What was it like then to sit down with a blank page or a blank screen or whatever and literally bare your soul, if you like, to people who don't know? Because people will know you from the TV and go, that's the SAS guy. And say, well, this is actually how I got here. And what you're reading now wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been through A, B, and especially C. It's, you know, it takes cojones, as we say here in Spain. It takes, you know, round ones to sort of put yourself out there in print.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, I could have written a book and said, you know, I'm this and that and sugarcoated everything. But I don't think anyone's got anything to learn from that. And I think us as humans, giving other people a hand up is so fulfilling. And that was the main focus for me. The book isn't about me. The book is about what it can do for other people. And that's the focus of the book. So every time, you know, it got quite raw. It's the first time I've told the whole series of my life and the event in one go, and that was it opened up a lot of emotion. But you know, the whole purpose and the focus of the book and the whole purpose of my company Breakpoint is to help people and change their lives. So I mean, that was the overpowering motivation to write the book in the first place.
If anybody's out there listening at the moment, especially guys, and they're struggling, and they're not sure, and they're flat, and, you know, we're now on Thursday, tomorrow's the weekend, a lot of people in Spain will be starting their weekends on Thursday afternoons and carrying it through till Monday. What advice would you give them if they're not sure, you know, if they're feeling irritable and discontent and not at one with the world?
Yeah, I think they have to reflect on their life. They have to look at what moments in their life, what things made them happy, and then they have to focus on that, and then they have to project that into a plan. The thing is, without a plan, you're relying on emotion. And if you're relying on emotion, you won't achieve anything. So really, it's so important to set a goal, put a date on it, and start aiming, start putting a process into play, and understand that, yet you're going to have to get a lot more uncomfortable before it gets better. But, you know, you take that first step. It's always about taking that first step, no matter how big or small your goal is. Put it into a plan, make a process, stick to the process, and you'll get there.
One of the quotes I'm doing my research on this is the fact that I love this quote. You know, I'm a true believer that our lives are a product of our imagination.
100%. And that's why it's so, you know, a lot of the stuff we do, it's all about building positive emotions. It's about building a positive emotional state, having a good sense of, you know, an attitude of gratitude. And that is just that itself is so powerful. It puts you on a different plane. But if you're living the repeat pattern of yesterday, and that's a negative cycle, you're caught in a sort of reverse cycle.
The book is called Breakpoint, SAS Who Dares Wins, Host's Incredible True Story. It's out now on Blink Publishing. Ollie, if people want to find out more information about you, obviously there's a website, I would imagine, and there's stuff about the book.
Yeah, there is a website, and it's just launched, and it's got all of my projects, and that is ollieollerton.com. If you have a look on there, there's information about the book, about our programs, about our company Breakpoint, and about SAS Who Dares Wins.
You said that your life has gotten immeasurably better since you faced down your demons. What are you up to today then? What's your plans for the day and for the weekend?
Yeah, well, I'm just on my way now to the NEC in Birmingham. We've got a 3-day event at a big event called Body Power. We've got the whole Breakpoint team going down there. It's going to be massive. We've got fast roping tower being built. We've got an assault challenge. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. So Breakpoint is keeping me extremely busy, believe me.
Excellent news. The book is called Breakpoint. It's by Ollie Ollerton. It's out now on Blink Publishing. Ollie, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you today.
Likewise. Thank you.